All right, back here on Out of Bounds. Hour two continues. 654 Roar is the number. In an hour, we've got Terrence Oglesby joining us here on the program, talking a little BYU-Clemson hoops tonight. 6 o'clock pregame, a little bit of an earlier time. You've got a 6:30, 9 o'clock. Can you imagine? We're going to talk about this. I was thinking about this today. The prestige of, like, Clemson-BYU for sure is the undercard in this, okay? Like, let's not get it twisted. It's for sure the undercard. But you've got Florida, multiple national championships, multiple Final Fours. You've got UConn, obviously multiple national championships, multiple Final Fours. You've got BYU, who's got the number one pick in the draft and has been a consistent program in the last, you know, 10 years or so. And you have Clemson in a showcase four ball, let's say, at Madison Square Garden in the middle of December.
It's a good place to be if you're Clemson.
Incredible.
Can't draw it up much better than that, team-wise,
you know,
competition-wise.
Listen, I truly don't know how I'm going to celebrate this from a food standpoint. I don't know what I'm going to eat today, but I do know that Wendy's Tendies is an option. It's been a couple weeks since I've been in the studio. I ordered Wendy's yesterday. Ordered some spicy nugs yesterday. Just needed some spicy nugs. I needed to rediscover how that felt. After being in the Bahamas and being in Tuscaloosa, like just needed, I needed some spicy nugs in my life. And one of the things that I forgot about the spicy nugs is how good the sauce is with the spicy nugs and how good the sauce is with the Wendy's Tendies, the signature sauce. Oh man, it's a beautiful thing. Download the Wendy's app, order today from your Anderson, Oconee, and Pickens County Wendy's location. You'll be glad you did that. Junior Bacon Cheeseburger Meal, $8. Snickerdoodle Frosty. Just so many ways to enjoy Wendy's these days. All right, we were talking about Clemson. During our first hour, we've been talking a good bit about Terrell. We're going to get back to Keith Adams Jr., some of the personnel stuff. Notre Dame Athletic Director Pete Bavakwa had a press conference today. And there have been several national beat reporters. Pete Sampson is somebody I really trust who covers Notre Dame for The Athletic. He's covered Notre Dame for a while. He was quoted, tweeted out quotes from this press conference. Now, let me just say, generally speaking, okay, I know a lot of Notre Dame fans. I used to work for one, by the way. I work with one from time to time who calls the show when we send out the bat signal, all right? So I have great relationships with Notre Dame fans, all right? I have nothing against Notre Dame as an institution or athletic department or football program. I disagree vehemently with every single thing they've said and done, including Pete Bavakwa's press conference. And what is clear to me is that Pete Bavakwa is making a political calculation here. And we have seen this before. You know, UCF raised a banner for being unbeaten. Not because they believed that they were the national champions, but because their fan base ate it up. It's a great way to earn political will. Danny White, great way to earn political will. When you do something like that, when you've got an aggrieved fan base that you can further stoke and you can fully capitalize on, that's what you want to do. Sam, what I discovered yesterday when I left here and realized that somebody somewhere shared my tweets, because every single person, it's Notre Dame botland in my mentions, Sam. You can go look at my tweets from yesterday, Notre Dame botland. And it's very interesting to me that you have these very incongruent conversations going on. For example, you have lots of people who are defending Notre Dame. What I basically have said is, again, you have two different things that Notre Dame's mad about. And Pete Bavakwa's mad about. They're mad about the CFP committee. I'm with them on that. They're very upset about the CFP committee. What they did was mean-spirited. It was wrong. It was really horrible to do that to a group of people. And then not really be able to fully explain in a logical way. You can explain it illogically, which the committee has done. They made a habit of doing that. But you can't explain it logically what the committee did to Notre Dame. I could explain, I heard somebody say this, if they just came out with the rankings yesterday, they would have said, playing in the conference championship game matters with Alabama, and winning a head-to-head matters with Miami and Notre Dame. And nobody would have said boo. But it's that it just now mattered when it hadn't mattered that Notre Dame's upset about. And Pete Bavakwa, I'm totally with you on that. He's got quotes from today that he said, it's the ultimate gut punch. the ultimate gut punch. He actually said that Miami deserves to be in the CFP. Because, of course, they deserve to be in the CFP. Obviously, they do. And so he says, you know, Alabama was deserving, Texas, Vanderbilt. They all had arguments. So he's basically saying somebody's going to get left out. But then he sort of says that it's, like, unacceptable that Notre Dame would be the team that would be left out. And then he talked about the ACC, and this is the second part, where the Notre Dame people are being fed a bunch of lies. These are lies, okay? And I'm going to tell you why they're lies and why they're total misrepresentations and why the position that Notre Dame is asking the ACC to take is completely unpalatable, all right? It's a total, like, if Pete Bavakwa was in charge of the ACC, Pete Bavakwa would not do what Pete Bavakwa was mad that Pete Bavakwa didn't do. It's so insane what Notre Dame is asking the ACC to do here. But Pete Bavakwa says that the ACC went on a social media campaign where they were attacked by the ACC. Now, you can go back for 3 weeks. You can go back. And in fact, there were people in my mentions yesterday when I brought up that the ACC had absolutely no reason to treat Miami and Notre Dame as equals. They absolutely had every reason in the world to want Miami in and to not give one rat's behind whether Notre Dame was in or out. $4 million worth of reasons. $4 million worth of reasons. That Miami, they should have wanted Miami in, and they don't care if Notre Dame gets in or not. Go look at ACC football Twitter. Go look at the ACC football Twitter account. Not once do they put up highlights of Notre Dame. It's not an ACC football member. They are not promoting your school. They are not. The ACC did not promote Notre Dame for the playoff in week 3 or week 4 or week 5 or week 6. They never do it. They didn't do it last year, the year before. They didn't do it. They did it in 2020 because Notre Dame was a member. And because it was an easy choice, like it was a real easy choice that Notre Dame would get in. They were obviously one of the 4 best teams. But Notre Dame is falling for this hook, line, and sinker. There are 2 things that Notre Dame is falling for. One is that they were specifically targeted. In fact, Bavakwa used that language. We were definitely being targeted. Well, it's Sam. Sam, I'm about to curse on air, Sam. You got to stop me. I'm not going to do it to you. I love you. I respect you too much. I can't do it. They were targeted. Notre Dame was specifically targeted. Well, Sam, why in tarnation would they have targeted Notre Dame? Maybe it's because the best argument for Miami getting in was that they beat Notre Dame. I want a Notre Dame fan that feels personally aggrieved. There were so many of these people I mentioned. So many people brought this up. Well, it's not that the ACC wanted Miami in. It's that they specifically targeted Notre Dame. Well, how in God's green earth would you want them to argue for Miami without mentioning Notre Dame? Why would you do that? If it was between Notre Dame and Texas A&M, I want you to tell me how you would argue that Texas A&M should be in over Notre Dame without pointing out Notre Dame. If it was between Notre Dame and USC, how in the world would you argue better than that Notre Dame won the game? Why would you do that? I had somebody, I actually asked one of them. I was like, how? Explain to me how. Well, you could have used Alabama. How? In what context? Would Miami getting in over Alabama be an easier sell than Miami getting in over the team that it beat? How would that be an easier sell? Notre Dame wouldn't do that in any context. But Notre Dame fans think that they were personally targeted for being Notre Dame, not for being the team Miami beat. It doesn't make any sense. This is worse than the committee's logic. Yes, you were targeted. You know why? Because you lost the dead blame game. You lost it. You lost. You had fewer points than the other team. And so the fact that the ACC just kept putting the score up was a personal affront, apparently. I don't understand how Notre Dame's administration is going to play the victim here. Yeah, you were victimized by Miami's football team, who scored more points than you on the freaking field. We were personally you were personally targeted because you were the team that lost the game. And because all the other arguments were way worse for Notre Dame's inclusion then we should get in over Miami. Well, they should have argued that they were both getting in. Well, okay. But what would that argument even be? I've yet to see a Notre Dame person. Pete Bavakwa didn't say. What would the argument have been to get Miami and Notre Dame in and Alabama out that would never have ever brought up that Miami won the game? There was no one arguing legitimately Miami versus Alabama. That argument was never presented by anyone. Notre Dame could have presented that argument. If Notre Dame wanted the ACC to just hold hands and skip down the road and sing kumbaya with them, then they could have helped Miami and Notre Dame both get in. But Notre Dame wasn't arguing against Alabama. Notre Dame wasn't arguing any of that because they thought they were in. They didn't argue. They thought they were in already. A 3-week coordinated assault. Yeah, because you lost the game. You lost the game. Nobody else lost the game. If somebody else had lost the game, then they would have been the target. How dare they target the team that lost the game? I mean, give me a freaking break. We're so hurt. And then there's this other quote from Bavakwa that I just don't understand. One of the most dominant 10-game runs in the history of college football. One of the most dominant 10-game runs in the history of college football. Who'd you beat, though?
You can't beat Purdue every year, man.
I mean...
Oh, wait, you can if you're
Notre Dame. Look at some of these. I mean, half the known world's opting out of their bowl games, and these teams weren't even on the list that they beat. Purdue, Stanford, Arkansas, Navy, who they crush every year.
Got into a rock fight with Boston College.
Boston College. I mean,
Yeah, you beat 20th ranked USC. Beat 22nd ranked Pittsburgh, who Miami.
Congratulations.
Miami, who also beat you, decimated in the in their ACC game. Once again, in their conference game, emphasis on conference game. Could have made an extra point against Texas A&M. Maybe you'd be in the playoff. Like, why can't just take the approach Vanderbilt took? Yeah, well, we lost to Texas. Should have beat Texas if we wanted to be in the playoff. You're right. Take that approach. Just take the right approach. It's ridiculous.
I truly don't understand. So you've got this element. You've also got the financial piece where every Notre Dame fan that's in my mentions is bringing up that the ACC is nothing without Notre Dame. And I don't even know if they realize what they're arguing or who they're arguing with, because I actually responded to one guy and said, bro, the ACC is nothing with Notre Dame. Look around.
Conference has like a 5-year timeline right now.
Congrats for saving the league from its eventual destruction in 3 years or 4 years, whatever it is. I mean, you're talking about a conference with an end date, an expiration date, 2030. Yeah, congrats for saving it. You know, Notre Dame's been horrible for the ACC. You know, you realize Notre Dame beating every ACC team they play hurts the league? No Notre Dame fan's going to bring that up. I find it so appalling that they want all the benefits from ACC membership and none of the responsibilities of ACC membership. They want all of the credit without any of the blame. They want the ACC to help them with their schedule, but now they're going to saber rattle. Pete Bavakwa actually said that the only conference commissioner he's talked to since Sunday is Greg Sankey. Well, no crap. I mean, he's the guy with the most power. He's the guy that gets to set the agenda to change the rules, which, by the way, Notre Dame is adding another way on top of the 1,000 other. I actually had somebody in my mentions say, and I don't even argue with this because it's so delusional, explain to me how Notre Dame gets preferential treatment. Besides all the ways? Besides every single day, every single game, every single week, every single month of every single year, you're right. They don't get any preferential treatment. Next year, they get a benefit that no other team in the country gets. They get to be in the top 12 and make it starting next year. And they weren't going to tell us that. They were just going to make that so and then tell us after the fact, I guess. Same as laughable. It's laughable that Notre Dame continues to botch this. Thank you for your press conference today. What did that accomplish? You didn't leave the ACC today because you can't. Because good luck trying to fill out your schedule with teams that play 9-game conference schedules. Best of luck to you.
Speaking of Notre Dame's schedule, here's Notre Dame's 2026 football schedule. Wisconsin at Lambeau. Boy, is that a battle. Rice at home. Michigan State with a new head coach at home. At Purdue. At North Carolina. Navy, Gillette Stadium. You've got Miami at home. There, you got Miami at home. We can do this again next year. Boston College at home, SMU at home. Syracuse on the road, who they beat 70-7 this year. Stanford at home, who won like three games and hired a new coach. And then, of course, USC, who will win 9 games next year because that's what USC does. Is there a playoff team on that schedule, probably? Maybe one.
Nah.
Maybe one. Maybe Miami.
Southern Cal's got a shot. That offense is really good. That offense is exciting.
They'll win 9 games. It's what Lincoln Riley does at Southern Cal. So you're not exactly jumping at the bit to schedule elite teams going forward still.
The fact that Notre Dame thinks that they are being victimized specifically for personal reasons, like taking it very personally as opposed to just understanding that, like, Jim Phillips and the ACC have a job to do and it doesn't involve putting $4 million in a blender. The fact that they think so loftily of themselves, they need to be knocked down. I mean, this truly, like, again, all my Notre Dame friends, like, I appreciate you. I see you. I hear you. Like, I understand. I feel your pain. I'm with you on the being left out part. It was mean. But y'all need to be knocked down a peg. The sport doesn't revolve around you. You are one of a bunch of big brands that can also get screwed at any point. Just like Alabama was screwed last year and Florida State, you could argue, was screwed 2 years ago. Notre Dame got screwed this year in some ways. Let's take a break. We come back, we'll take a couple phone calls. 654-ROAR is the number. Hour 2 of the program continues after this.
I'm a donut nut. I'm a donut nut. I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
I'm Glenn Reese with Krispy Kreme Donuts in Anderson and Spartanburg. We're open 7 days a week. Pick up some delicious donuts and a cup of coffee. We'll help you raise money for your club, church, or group of worthy cause. Sell Krispy Kreme Donuts. Call Spartanburg and Anderson Krispy Kremes.
I'm a donut nut, I'm a donut nut, I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
Imagine owning a new luxury townhome just minutes from Death Valley. Hunter Quinn Homes offers the perfect game day retreat for Tiger fans at The Landing at Clemson Marina. Across from Clemson Marina and only minutes from campus, these maintenance-free high-end homes are made for game day living. Room for friends and family and no yard work. Whether it's a weekend escape or your permanent home, The Landing at Clemson Marina lets you stay close to the team you love. Find Hunter Quinn Homes online to learn more and tour today.
Premier Portable Buildings and Trailers are right in your backyard. Looking to gain space in your home, a shed is a great way to make room. And if you need to transport your gear, we have a trailer to meet your needs. With two locations to serve you, Sheds of Spartanburg and Sheds of Welford. Visit shedsofspartanburg.com or shedsofwelford.com, where you can view our entire inventory of sheds and trailers. Call today, 864-652-1660, or visit 1470 Boiling Springs Road, Spartanburg, or 321 Spartanburg Highway, Welford today.
William Nichols from Scores Jewelers. You know, I'm very fortunate to work in an industry that's almost entirely focused on celebrating life's good times and milestones. Like the anniversary highlighting 5, 10, 15 years or more spent with your best friend, birthdays and Christmases, and maybe the biggest day of all, the marriage of two people. Her engagement ring is more than just a diamond and a piece of gold. On the day it's given as a gift, it becomes a meaningful symbol marking the start of your new life together. In a few years, you won't remember the price tag on her engagement ring, but you will remember that look on her face when you open the box. That moment of sheer joy and excitement that says so many things to her that you could never express in words. This is the true value of a ring. The reason these things are handed down from one generation to the next. She's the one. Show her with the ring from Scores Jewelers. We'll help you find or make the perfect ring that says everything you want to say the moment you open the box for her. I'm William Nichols of Scores Jewelers in Anderson and online at scoresdiamondjewelers.com, and I want to be your jeweler.
No matter where you begin your journey or how long you stay with Tri-County Technical College, they support your career path from day one. Their enrollment process is seamless, and their experts are available to help you find the balance you're looking for. Tri-County offers financial assistance tutoring, health and wellness resources, career planning assistance, and more. They're nationally ranked and in the top 1% for successful transfers to four-year universities. Visit tctc.edu.
Holidays are quickly approaching, and there is no better way to shop for Western and workwear fashion for men, women, and children than at Cherokee Outfitters in Gaffney. If you hurry in now, you can save 10% by just mentioning the Roar FM. This excludes firearms. We also carry hunting and fishing clothes, gear, and supplies. With brands like Carhartt, Ariat, Cinch, Wrangler, and many more, you can get everything you need in one stop. Visit today right off I-85 at exit 90 or 92, just down Peachoid Road.
Are low T and ED ruining your life? Low Country Male is your solution to getting that alpha feeling back. Sitting on the couch? Not acceptable. We're going to get you back in the gym and get you back in the game of life. Come on down to Low Country Male today. Get your testosterone checked and start a personalized concierge TRT plan. Plans include testosterone, lab work, annual physicals, doctor visits, and much more. Book at one of our 8 locations. Low Country Male, making men men again since 2016. LowCountryMale.com.
We're here with Eric Snyder of Snyder Tree Care. Eric, you guys can help a lot as far as preparing for those winter storms.
You know, winds come and storms happen, but if your tree is properly pruned, it's not going to fall to the storm like one that isn't. We would recommend that you prune it properly so the wind can get through it. Your tree can be healthy and strong. We don't want to top them out. If you top a tree, you're going to have a bigger problem in 3 to 5 years. You can find us on the web at SchneiderTree.com.
Leave it to Snyder Tree Care.
Powered by Upcountry Fiber, we are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Providing fiber internet, HDTV, and phone service, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
The Roar, with enough hot takes to melt your smart speaker. We are The Roar, where every day is game day.
I can't deal with the personal stuff. It was personal. That the ACC made it personal. Like, no, they didn't. We're back. We're going to the phones here. They didn't. They actually didn't make it personal. It was totally professional. Totally a professional argument. And by the way, they didn't even have to try hard. They just reminded people over and over again who won the game after feeling like the committee was ignoring who won the game for a month. If Notre Dame were in the position of Miami, Notre Dame would have been doing the same thing. You know who wouldn't have been doing it? The ACC. Because the ACC has a professional obligation to lobby on behalf of its teams. You know what we really should be saying on this? After the ACC has been asleep at the wheel like all the time, this is 2 years in a row. This is 2 years in a row that Jim Phillips / the ACC got the job done. Two teams this year, and then somehow they convinced the committee that head-to-head should matter, even if it was totally illogical how they got there. I would say they are +2 based on what we would have reasonably thought at the end of the day in the last two cycles in the entire illustrious history of 12-team playoff. The ACC has had two more teams than we would have thought at noon on the Sunday of the final rankings because they got SMU to stay in and they got Miami in. So props to the ACC for actually doing its job in a creative manner for once.
And again, it worked out better. I think we talked about it yesterday. It probably worked out better for them that Miami is in there and not Virginia. Because Virginia would have had a much less chance against the Texas A&M than Miami will.
That's right.
I don't think it could have gone much better the last 2 years for them. That SMU was the precedent-setting team with the conference championship game stuff and got in. Didn't matter that they got blown out. They got there. That's all the ACC needed. They got Clemson in, which is they got one of their brands in there. Didn't matter if Clemson won that game at that point. They got in, and they get Miami in. That's the brand this year, and that's their best team. Win, win, win. No, they don't care what Notre Dame's got going on. Not in football.
$8 million for the ACC, by the way, for Clemson and SMU. The ACC got $0 from Notre Dame. So, again, forgive me if the ACC made a professional calculation. It's not personal. It's not. Again, it would have been ridiculous for Miami, out of fear and trepidation for Notre Dame, to argue that they should have been in over Alabama. Like, no one would have been persuaded by that. Because you know what they would have said? Why aren't you arguing against Notre Dame? That's an easier argument to win. It doesn't make any sense. Again, go back to the beginning of the season and look at the number of times that the ACC football Twitter account posted positively about Notre Dame. You're not going to see it because Notre Dame is not a football member of the ACC. Well, Texter says, would it be fair to describe Notre Dame's relationship with the ACC as a friends with benefits situationship when it involves football? That's RJ. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kinda. Like, it is a marriage in all the other sports, and it is a friends with benefits situationship in football where both sides get what they need, but they don't have to stay together.
Well, luckily, Notre Dame is giving the ACC elite production in other sports, such as their 5 out of 7 under 500 seasons since 2019 in men's basketball.
Yikes.
2018.
That's a great – our friend Nick Roby got in and basically said that. They're not a member in football, and it does help the ACC that Notre Dame enhances their football media rights. It does.
Financially, it helps them in every other sport that they're there, sure.
Right. But competitively, I mean, it ain't like Notre Dame's like bringing home the bacon. You know, they're not winning a bunch of titles. Women's basketball's off. Men's basketball's off. Baseball's off now. I mean, it ain't like they're setting the pace in a lot of these sports. Let's go to Troy Tiger, who's up with us next. Hey, Troy Tiger.
Hey, guys. Great rant.
Thank you.
I'm in a deer stand down in Troy on the edge of a signal. I set my deer stand to make sure I had a signal to listen. And I was cold and I was sleepy, but I am fully awake and I'm ready to go now after this Notre Dame rant.
I love it, man. I'm glad we could help you out today. Be your afternoon coffee.
I hate Notre Dame. I hate them. I love the Catholics convicts deal. They bring nothing. They bring nothing anymore. How did they get a kid to go to South Bend, Indiana?
Let me say this. As somebody who's been there many times, I got three answers. One is there is a prestige on that campus that is felt. That is like... That is, when you step on that campus, you feel it. They do a really good job of harnessing that. The second is, from a football standpoint, it still is a huge brand. Now, I don't think it is the be-all, end-all like a lot of their fans seem to think, but it is one of the big brands of the sport. I think one of the things that's hardest for Notre Dame people to accept with this is that they are now one of several big brands and not the biggest brand in the sport. The third thing is, it is like... It is a bit of an outpost, but I actually think the campus, like I said, there's a regality there. The campus is beautiful. Like, it is one of my favorite campuses to be on and to be at, and the academics there, too. The academics are really, really good. So there are lots of reasons to go. And like I say, I'm not with you, Troy Tiger. Like, I really don't have hate in my heart for Notre Dame. I don't have any hate in my heart for Notre Dame or Notre Dame people. I just find it puzzling how propagandized they are in all of this, and I think I'm uncovering that there is an air of elitism that I just did not... I knew that they were sort of elitist, but I thought that a lot of that was earned and legitimate based on the way people treated them, and it is much larger for many than I recall or than I realized.
Hate's a strong word. Thank you for correcting.
I mean, you can hate him if you want to. Look, no, I'm not your keeper. You can do it if you want to, man.
No, you're correct. I guess I hate, I don't know, maybe it's the elitism or the singularity. I would not watch them on NBC. Plus, they don't play anybody. There's nothing interesting there anymore.
Well, that's it. I mean, the schedule has gotten really watered down. And you know what? You know who's to blame for that a lot? The ACC. The ACC. If the ACC were a better league and a more interesting league and invested more in football, the Notre Dame schedule would be a little bit better right now. So, again, that is a piece of this that I'm sympathetic to Notre Dame on. Like, they could talk about the dominance of their run, and I agree that they looked like one of the 12 best teams, but the... In terms of who they beat, it just is a very light resume, and I think a lot of that falls at the feet of the ACC.
Well, it's obvious to me what needs to happen. They need to go to the Big Ten, and we need to go to the SEC. I preached to Walt for several years ago that we needed to move. It was time to go to the SEC. I've said that for 15, 20 years. And I pray we go. Because I'm tired. Quite frankly, I'm tired of the ACC. I don't want to see Clemson, Syracuse. I don't want to see Clemson, Boston College. I'd rather see us play Tennessee, Georgia, have a home and home with LSU. And, yeah, we're going to get our hat handed to us sometimes. But that's good football. We would be better off in SEC. We'd become better. We'd, and I know we'd have more stature with Mr. Feinbaum, you know. Clemson is still little old Clemson in the national picture. We don't get the respect. Dabo doesn't get the respect. Dabo gets nothing but hate in the media, or a lot of it that I hear, for absolutely no reason at all. Dabo is a wonderful coach. We are so blessed to have him. Does he make mistakes? Is he maybe too loyal at times? Maybe. But Dabo coaches men. Dabo builds men. And I'm proud of our program. You know, I knew this year wasn't going to be great. I thought it would be a little better than it ended up. But I tell you, I've seen some rough times with Clemson. I've seen some hard times. And right now is not them. So I'm happy. Hey, this Notre Dame deal, this has got me more fired up than anything that's gone on this season. So thank
you. You know what? We're glad to do it, Troy Tiger. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. I wish you good luck in the deer stand for the rest of the day.
We've had a lot of callers the last couple weeks between all the shows calling from deer stands, an alarmingly high number. That's dedication.
I appreciate that. Texter from 706 says, Notre Dame has a nice three-game schedule next year, too. Miami, SMU at home, and at USC. You know what I love that Notre Dame hasn't done? And again, I don't want it to come off like I'm just totally anti-Notre Dame. Like, I don't understand the feelings and the thoughts and all this stuff. If it were Clemson who was treated the way Notre Dame was treated, then we would be feeling a very similar way. I also think that if Notre Dame were playing in the game and their opponent backed out, you know, this is where it gets very tricky, okay? Because I've heard from a lot of Notre Dame fans. I got ratioed on my tweet about the I'd rather have bowl season than conference championship games because I think conference championship games are stupid. I said this yesterday. I think they're stupid. I think with the bloat of the conferences, we don't have a good way to confirm that the best teams are in the game. In fact, I think there were two conferences that had the best teams in the game and two conferences that did not this year. And, like, not even close. Like, the fifth best team in the SEC – it was the one seed. I mean, what am I supposed to do with that? The ACC clearly didn't have their best teams, and you can't even argue they did. You can't even be like, well, they won the games. No, they really didn't. They really didn't win games against the other great teams. You can't even have the Miami-Notre Dame argument. Because, like, the Duke getting in was about the Boston College-Syracuse game and the last weekend of the year. Like, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. But a lot of the Notre Dame fans are going, oh, man, but bowl season is irrelevant. It's irrelevant. It doesn't matter. These are meaningless games, exhibitions. Why would we go line ESPN's pockets? First of all, they are more than happy to line NBC and ESPN's pockets to play Navy and Tulsa and these other games, okay? So, again, get off your high horse with that one.
Oh, we are not going to be the ones to be pawns in ESPN's money-making scheme.
Well, you were. You were going to make ESPN money in the playoff. So, again, get off your high horse with that. That's ridiculous. That's number one. Number two on the bowl season, if Notre Dame were going to go to the Pop-Tart Bowl and BYU opted out, you don't think the Notre Dame fans would be chiding BYU? Oh, man. Well, we got a program that operates with integrity, unlike BYU, who claims to be upright and affiliated with the church. And now they're the ones opting out. I mean, you would hear that from Notre Dame people. But because their school opted out, they don't have a principled stand against this. They don't have a principled stand against this. They are saying what they need to say to defend their school. Which, by the way, is exactly what they're mad at the ACC for doing. Just want to throw that out there. Exactly what they're mad at the ACC for doing, for saying what they have to say to defend their school. And Peep of Aqua did say that it doesn't mean that Notre Dame is opting out of all non-CFP bowl games for the foreseeable future. Well, thank God for that. Whew! I actually do appreciate that. I appreciate that they're not saying to burn the whole thing down. And maybe that's a way that Peep of Aqua has cooled off in the last couple of days after his childish rant on Sunday to Ross Dellinger. Short break. When we come back, Sam, Peter Woods has declared for the NFL draft. We'll talk about that. Keith Adams to the portal. We'll talk about that. We got to talk offensive coordinators. Kendall Briles of South Carolina. Let me get your thoughts on that. First, let me tell you about, you know, Clemson. You can't confirm that you're going to win championship rings every year. You can't do it. Dabo says we're going to win championships, but we're not guaranteed to win it every year. You know what you can guarantee? A ring plaque. If you're a Clemson grad or Citadel grad or a Texas A&M grad, as a matter of fact, Collegiate Legacy Designs has you covered this holiday season. They have ring plaques with the male and female, the men's and women's Clemson ring design, with the Citadel ring design, the Texas A&M ring design. And they have it handcrafted, at least part of it's handcrafted. They have everything that you can imagine there to customize it, to make it a replica of your Clemson ring. My Clemson ring got broken some years ago, and I haven't replaced it. This is a great alternative to that. And it is beautiful. It is absolutely beautiful to put in your office or your home somewhere. For more, go to collegiatelegacydesigns.com. Our friends Greg and Julie Terry do a great job of those. collegiatelegacydesigns.com. Stay with us. Hour two of the program continues right after this.
It's that time of year again. It's time to start thinking about Seneca's Half Marathon and 5K. It's coming 2026, March the 14th. You've thought about it, maybe made a resolution or thought about maybe doing your first half marathon or 5K. Well, here's your year to do it. Sign up today. And what better way to give a present, too, if you'd like to give a stocking stuffer for the race entry? You can do that. Go to runsignup.com. It's going to be a lot of fun. 313 is a major sponsor with us, along with Henry Ramirez and all the gang at Upstate Medical Associates, our two official sponsors, and Santee Cooper is also involved. It's going to be a fun day. You can check out our website at Race for the Green at Seneca SC Events on Facebook. And if you'd like to know more information, just go to our website at seneca.sc.us. Make a resolution, make a commitment to do your first 5K or half marathon and a relay, too. You can find it all at www.seneca.sc.us. It's Race for the Green 2026, March the 14th.
Hey, y'all. It's the Rocket Roger Clemens here. Spent a lot of time pitching heat. Years later, the pain in my joints remind me of those days. But I'm not looking to sit still, and I definitely am not interested in going under the knife. That's why I chose QC Kinetics.
Not just for elite retired athletes. QC Kinetics gives everyday folks joint pain relief using regenerative treatments that work with your body to help repair joint damage.
No surgery, no long recovery, whether it's your knees, hips, shoulders, or back. My friends at QC Kinetics will help you get moving again so you can get back to doing the things you love.
Meet face-to-face with a QC Kinetics medical professional on a free telemedicine video call today. Find out if you're a candidate.
I trusted QC Kinetics to help me feel like myself again, and I'm proud to recommend them to you.
Call QC Kinetics today and schedule your free consultation.
Call QC Kinetics, 864-766-8454. That's 864-766-8454. 864-766-8454.
Our great partners at Whataburger are fixing to open a new location, and they're pulling out all the stops with their brand new store on Woodruff Road right in front of Target. Join Facts on Sports Live as John Height and I take the show on the road Wednesday, December 10th from 9 a.m. until noon. We'll have station swag along with a special menu offering from our friends at Whataburger. They've taken the Carolinas by storm, and now they're opening a new location, Whataburger, in front of Target on Woodruff Road. Don't miss it on Wednesday, December 10th.
Hello, Clemson family. I'm Jeff Scott, former assistant football coach for the Clemson Tigers. I partnered with fellow Clemson alum Eric Newton to create Newton Scott Signature Homes, a smarter approach to luxury living. We're thrilled to announce our newest project, a brand new neighborhood development right here in Clemson. Our new community at Heatherwood will feature over a dozen homes hallmarked by thoughtful design, quality craftsmanship, and a seamless build experience from concept to completion. Visit us at NewtonScottSignatureHomes.com to start your build and learn more about this exciting opportunity. Go Tigers!
This winter, save big with Blue Ridge Heating and Air. Upgrade to an energy-efficient Armstrong air system and get up to $2,000 in federal tax credits before January 1st. Plus, choose 60 months no-interest financing or up to $2,000 in rebates on select heat pumps that may also qualify for utility rebates. That's real money back and long-term savings on your energy bills. Schedule your free estimate today at BlueRidgeHeatingAir.com. Blue Ridge Heating and Air, engineered comfort solutions.
Hey, 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 it's the Queen of Clean here at Royal Flush Toilet Rentals. Give us a call at 864-238-8800. We've got your portable toilet rentals, hand wash stations, luxury restroom toilet trailers, septic tank services, and holding tanks. So whenever you need to speak with the Queen of Clean, call Royal Flush at 864-238-8800.
Embrace the horizon at Longview, Carolina, your private agri-hood in the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains. Home sites average over an acre, giving you the opportunity to own a piece of your very own mountain. With 50-mile panoramic views, a stone's throw from Easley, and a short drive from Clemson and Greenville, Longview, Carolina is your gateway to resilient living. Explore a life unbound. Visit longviewcarolina.com for your personal tour. Longview, Carolina, worlds apart, minutes away.
The upstate leader in sports by day, worldwide leader in sports by night. We are the Roar, part of the ESPN family.
All right, hour two continues out of bounds. William Quackenbush and Sam Jones with you. Thanks for joining us here on the program. This hour brought to you by our friends at Tiger Sports Shop. Go online to tigersports.com. See the great selection that they have for you. You can shop the Nike. You can shop. They have a flannel collection that's really just top-notch. We're like in an ongoing Christmas decoration at my house. Like I hung some wreaths this morning. We still got a few things to put on the tree. Like we're still doing it. Okay, it's December 9th. Don't judge us, but we're still doing it. I was gone Thanksgiving. All right, so relax. But Tiger Sports Shop's helping with that. The Clemson themed room in your house. They have holiday socks from Zuzats with the Clemson logos on them. Really good. If you want to. They've got deals on Clemson gift wrap and ornaments and some like mugs and things to make your spirits bright, as the song says. You can make your holiday even sweeter at Tiger Sports Shop. Two locations to serve you. Downtown Clemson, Highway 123, always up at tigersports.com. Peter Woods. Let's go to Peter Woods here, Sam. Peter Woods declares for the draft. Not a shocker. Can I tell you something? Similar to Avion Terrell, man, I feel like Peter Woods is a warrior. And some of the things that I've been told about Peter Woods behind the scenes this year, like on a team that I think probably lacked leadership, in fact, the team that I know lacked leadership from a player standpoint, Peter Woods was one of the few that was willing to supply that leadership. And I understand that people wanted a Christian Wilkins, like, earth mover, basically. They wanted a bulldozer in there. And he was more of a space eater this year, just without the statistical prowess. But this guy is a first-round pick because of the impressive individual things that he does a few times a game. And I will admit that this year the defense would have been better had he been more productive. But I will fondly remember Peter Woods' Clemson career, regardless of what he does in his bowl game. Again, I read his statement on Instagram. I think he put it on Twitter as well. And it does not sound like a guy who's going to play in a bowl game. Just going to go ahead and throw it out there. Avion Terrell's a little more open for interpretation, I think, but doesn't seem like Peter Woods is going to play. Maybe he does, but it doesn't seem like he's going to play. We don't know either way. How will you remember Peter Woods, Sam? Let's start there. And your thoughts on his decision to declare for the NFL draft.
Very good player. Will go very highly in the draft. Probably could have done more, right? I think there could have been more raw production. I thought he was misused last year, and that kind of burnt an entire year of Peter Woods in a way, because if you would have used him last year where he should have been all year long probably, which is inside, and you couldn't do it last year because you didn't have a second competent edge rusher outside of TJ Parker, maybe he would have been better this year with that extra year of development and in-game reps at a nose tackle, D-tackle spot. But freakish athlete, very, very good player, oftentimes with defensive tackles, the stats aren't going to jump off the page necessarily. I think he could have been statistically better for him, but very, very good. Clemson was better off having him on the field every time that he played, and I wish last year they could have utilized him better and had the correct personnel on that defensive line to where we could have gotten, I think, third year of development, full on, ready to go inside Peter Woods this season. I don't think we necessarily got that. He's going to destroy the combine. Absolutely wreck the NFL combine.
Texture says, Peter Woods, a third round pick, T-Rex arms. I mean, maybe. Maybe he gets to the combine and say his arms are too short. Maybe that's a reason that he was more of a space eater than a playmaker.
I highly doubt that happens. He's going to go round one.
He's going to be a first round pick.
He's going to be a high
I feel better about Woods going first round than I do about Terrell at the end of the day.
And the NFL will like, for what it's worth, even though I don't love it, that he was able to play the edge last year and not be terrible at it. And that he can kick inside and kick outside. The NFL's going to love that.
Well,
he's going to go high.
Again, it feels like maybe you don't want to spend. Like I say, I'm not saying that I would spend a first-round pick on Peter Woods necessarily. It would depend on my positional need and all that stuff. But defensive line, you can find corners in round three and round four and get value. Round two, get value. You could do that with defensive tackles, but if you got a guy that you feel real good about being a true disruptor in there, you go ahead and take that guy round one.
That's a
especially
position,
back of round one.
That's also a position, defensive tackle, that takes a long time on average for development to happen. It takes most defensive tackles in the NFL 3 or 4 years to really get going. It's kind of similar to tight end. And when you transition from tight end in college to the NFL, it's one of those spots that takes a little while. So if he doesn't come in and make a huge immediate impact, that's not too surprising because not many defensive tackles do that. But he's going to go very highly.
No doubt. I would say so. If he doesn't play in a bowl game, you going to be upset? You going to be understanding? What's your...
Same thing with Terrell. If he wants to play in the game, he can play in the game. If he doesn't want to play the game, don't play in the game. I think it's really that simple. I think there's a better chance. I don't think either of them are going to play. I don't think either of them play in the game. I don't think Antonio plays in the game. I don't think any of those guys play in the game.
I think that's good. I really do think it's good. Like, you're not playing a 9-win team. You're facing a Penn State team that you could probably beat. Is it better for you to see what you have with Amari Adams, see what you have in Vic Beasley, see what you have in – I mean, you don't need to know what you have with, like, Adams, for example. But is it better off for you to see what you have with some of these guys, like at corner, to see maybe slide Corey and Gibson out there, see what he is? Is he a nickel or a corner? Maybe we find out. Give Strozier like 60 snaps. I mean, you could do something like that out there too.
Is it better? I don't know. Probably. But I don't think you're going to have a choice either way. I think that's what the situation's going to be. I highly doubt any of those guys play in the bowl game. I'd be stunned.
654 Roar is the number you like to join us on the phones or on the Adams Curving text line. 654-7627. You want to join us. We'd love to have you.
For what it's
the
worth,
next few minutes.
I will say I think I will remember Avion Terrell more fondly than Peter Woods from a football standpoint here. I don't think that's out of the realm of fairness to say. I think he was more productive in a lot of ways than Peter was.
I think he will be remembered as more productive. I also think, you know, Peter Woods has a tough road to hoe with regards to like the history of the position, because you have Christian Wilkins and Dexter Lawrence. Like, Clemson's had great corners, but the Wilkins-Lawrence standard is almost impossible to live up to. Again, not saying that Woods was as productive as he needed to be this year, but that's almost an impossible standard. And Terrell, I think, has a more manageable standard. Even though his brother set a really high bar, I think he was able to meet that. We have got some breaking news, and we do have Terrence Oglesby at 2:05, but we're gonna get to the breaking news. This is big. I mean, this is big news in Clemson. That Jim Clements, the president of the university, has announced that he is retiring in 3 weeks. That Wednesday, December 31st, would be his last day. It will wrap up his 12th full year. In fact, his first day was December 31st, 2013. And, I mean, there's a lot to unpack with this. Board meeting, they got to figure out interim president. So that's what's going on in the meantime. This has now been confirmed. I've heard some scuttlebutt that something like this was coming down the pike, but didn't know the exact timing of it. And so kind of was on the lookout for this. My initial thought is there are a number of factors. He's been in this post 12 years. That's a long time for a university president to serve. And there, you know, there could be a lot of reasons for it. There's been some controversy with the land deal in the Newry area. I don't know if that played a role or not. I would imagine there were some people at Clemson that were not thrilled about some of the names that were in that, have been some of the exposure there. Again, I don't know that that's the thing. I'm just telling you that's what is happening alongside of this. You would also point out that this was a president that loved athletics. Loved Clemson, first of all. I don't agree with anything that any president does. I kind of feel weird just even having to say that. Like, nobody's going to agree with all the decisions that a president makes. There are certainly pros and cons. There are things that he did that I agree with and things that he did that I didn't agree with. I felt the same about Jim Barker, who I know Jim Barker a little bit, and there were things that he did that I didn't like, and there were things he did I did like. I think over the course of time, over the course of his tenure, he'll be remembered as somebody who expanded, certainly. And he presided over a period of great success in athletics. And for me, where I sit, that's a positive thing. One of the questions that you're always going to have in this type of turnover is, what is the board looking for in their next president? And the way I would answer that question is somebody kind of like Jim Clements. Because he did. He ushered in an era of growth and maturation for the university. And particularly in athletics, spending and championships that coincided with growth on campus. He understood the marriage between the two. He was very involved in recruiting athletes. Not just football players either. Like, he was very involved in recruiting some of the Olympic sports as well. Incredibly open to athletes. It's my understanding, I wasn't a student when he was here, but very open to students. Very friendly to me. I've never had a negative interaction with him. He's never had anything negative to say to me about anything that we've said or done. I didn't know him that well, but I knew him well enough that we would, you know, exchange pleasantries and we saw each other and things like that. I think his tenure would largely be seen as successful, particularly from athletics, from the athletic standpoint. And so Dabo Swinney has talked a lot about, and just keep this in mind now, Dabo Swinney has talked a lot about the synergy, cohesion, consistency, the chain of command up and down, and the alignment of the university from president, board, AD, Dabo Swinney, football coach. Anytime somebody from that hierarchy leaves, anytime there's any change in that, there is a potential for upheaval. So it is something that very clearly from a Clemson sports standpoint, we'll monitor. Texter says change is scary. Yeah, change is scary. The devil you know is almost always better than the devil you don't, okay? I say that with coaching changes all the time. Ask Penn State if the devil they know is better than the devil they don't right now. Maybe they fell backwards into a good hire. But even Jim Barker, I mean, some of the things that I disagree with Jim Barker, there was no guarantee that Jim Clemens is going to be better than Jim Barker. No guarantee of that. But with his leadership and with getting everybody aligned at the university level, again, it has been great for athletics. Clemson has started sports that are nationally competitive. Multiple sports that are nationally competitive under Jim Clemens' leadership. And Dan Radakovich and Graham Neff's leadership as well. Clemson is nationally competitive in gymnastics, nationally competitive in softball, nationally competitive in women's lacrosse, and nationally competitive in almost every sport that Clemson offers. Maybe for the first time in its history, Clemson could say that. And that's really because of his leadership. If he's not leading you that way, you're not going to get there. So, you know. End of an era, for sure. In 3 weeks, it's a quick turnaround right there with Jim Clements announcing today that he is retiring. Not a resignation. A retirement is the framing. And we'll see where Clemson goes from here. If you have thoughts, if texts are pouring in, go ahead and get those in. 654-ROAR is the number. When we come back, we do have Terrence Oglesby scheduled to join us. Clemson BYU are playing basketball. So more to say on the Jim Clements front with this breaking news, this seismic breaking news here in Clemson that we are reacting to in real time. We're going to talk some sports, and we're going to talk that in Hour 3.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.